This is how it begins.
But all these statues, why was it done?
This is how it has always begun, for over 2,000 years, with a simple question.
It's for a park in Chile, in Coquimbo. The Tertio Millennium Park in Chile.
Ah, c'est pour un parc au Chili.
Ah, d'accord.
And the artist, is he Italian?
Both are Italian, yes. Both artists are Italian.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, merci.
For the past 40 days and 40 nights, hundreds, if not thousands of feet, have trampled a red velvet carpet that has been carefully laid along the wide, broad sweep of Via della Conciliazione, the thoroughfare that leads from the banks of the River Tiber to the embracing arms of Bernini's colonnade in St. Peter's Square. A velvet carpet, scarlet red, the color of blood, that lines a very special Via Crucis, or Way of the Cross, that has kept visitors and pilgrims, believers and non-believers enthralled for the duration of the Lenten season here at the Vatican.
This is Via Sacra, I don't know how we say in English.
We say Way of the Cross.
Yes, the Way of the Cross. Yeah, it's interesting to see in Rome the symbolism of this. Take it to where we're coming from. It's very important for the people that cannot be here. And we have seen it, and we take a bit of these pictures, and it will be effective for the people that we're going to show us.
Fourteen life-sized stations, cast in solid bronze. 49 statues, 11 crosses. They are the largest stations of the cross in the world. Their sculptors, Pasquale Nava and Giuseppe Alamprese, have been working on the project since 2002, in conjunction with Domus Dei of the Congregation of the Pie Discepoli del Divin Maestro, which produces art and liturgical objects for churches. This very special Via Crucis was commissioned for the city of Coquimbo in Chile by the Fundación Cruz del Terzo Milenio. Over 40 days and 40 nights. Men, women and children, the old and the young, have been enthralled by the sheer impact of this visual representation of the greatest story ever told, of Christ's passion and crucifixion. And the Pie Discepoli have always been on hand to patiently answer the many questions that this Via Crucis has provoked. As I found out when I was joined by the sister disciple Mariella to walk the way of the cross in the heart of the Vatican.
It was inaugurated on the 13th of March, and it has been here ever since. And so we have people coming down here, all the tourists and all the pilgrims that come over, and you can see them stop and pray, and groups of the youth as well that came and are still coming for this special initiative that we put on. And so it's a way of helping people to pray with beauty as well.
Each station of the cross is represented by a group of figures, not just one figure. First of all, they're freestanding statues, they're life-size statues, and they're in bronze. Quite an undertaking. I can't imagine how long this took to design, to produce, and then to put in place. But let's go back to the very beginning. Whose idea was this?
The idea was of a priest called Father Ramon from Chile, and this Via Crucis is, in effect, going to go to Chile in Coquimbo, in a big park called the Park of the Third Millennium, And so we started this work with the designing and everything ever since 2002. But actually the work was the fusing and, you know, the bronze casting started 5 years ago. So it took us actually five long years to finish all this work.
We're at the first station where Jesus is condemned to death.
So we have Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate, and he is washing his hands, okay? And since it has been raining, so we have really rain in the pot where he is washing his hands. There's a little boy that is pouring out some water, and he's standing right in front of Jesus with his eyes to his feet. And on the other side, on Jesus' left side, there is a Roman soldier trying to push him towards Pontius Pilate, and he has this grieved face, and Jesus just standing there with his eyes looking into Pontius Pilate's eyes.
Yeah, it seems that Pontius Pilate can't look Jesus in the face.
He can't look in his face, right. And Jesus is just harmless there, waiting for his sentence.
Walking through the stations, is there any one particular station that is or has a particular significance for you?
Well, I was a bit touched by the second falling of Jesus, where he has this cross that seems very heavy and he's trying to push it away from him. And it was, you know, amazing to see how the artist, both of the artists were really, really good, and they are Giuseppe Alamprese and Pasquale Nava, that designed and did the actual sculpturing of these statues. And they managed to get like really real faces. I mean, you can really imagine how Jesus was feeling in that moment looking at these statues. And in that statue in particular, I just felt like Jesus was, you know, trying to push away this heaviness of the cross, and that's how we feel many times when we have this cross coming upon us. It's for
You speak French?
No, it's better English. Mm-hmm. It's for a park in Chile, in Coquimbo, the Tertio Millennium Park in Chile.
Ah, c'est pour un parc au Chili.
Ah,
on the artist, is he Italian?
Both are Italian, yes. Both artists are Italian.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Okay.
It's a very simple means, you know, art, to try and teach a story, but it seems to be really effective. I mean, just even walking between the stations, you have tourists stopping you and asking you simplistic things.
Yeah.
This is one of the aims of your congregation as a member of the Pauline family.
Yes, because we really believe that images are really important today as well. And so beauty is a way of speaking of God. And so that's what why our founder wanted us to study art, architecture, music, and in all artistic fields, to find a way of speaking of Jesus and the Lord, and God's things to the people of every time. Well, in this Via Crucis, the artists try to make a modern images, modern statues, but in the traditional way. So all the people that came and are still coming to visit this Via Crucis and to pray with this Via Crucis find it very, very
accessible.
So they understand immediately the message that it's trying to give them. So that's one way.
Where are you from?
Mozambique.
Mozambique?
Yeah.
You're looking at the statues?
Yes.
What do you think of them?
Well, it's only very a representation. During the course of this, we say Quaresma in Portuguese. This is Via Sacra. I don't know how we say in English.
We say Way of the Cross.
Yes, the Way of the Cross. It's interesting to see in Rome for the first time. I've been here previously in January, but this is interesting to see and take it for our family also.
Do you think it's effective?
If it is
effective, if it has an effect, does it involve?
Yes, of course, it's going to affect. It's very important to take at least the symbolism of this, take it to where we're coming from. It's very important for the people that cannot be here. And we have seen it, and we take a bit of these pictures, and it will be effective for the people that we're going to show also.
Thank you very much. What are your names?
Vanis.
Manuel.
Thank you very much. Have a safe journey home. Thank you.
Thank you.
It seems to be pretty effective, all right. I mean, we've had tourists from France, tourists from Mozambique. Not all of them necessarily pilgrims, and perhaps not all of them necessarily Christian.
And maybe they were surprised as well to find such a thing in Rome, in this, you know, and in this place, because it's not so natural to have these images in this Lenten time as well, because we're so used to everything, but we're not used to the most important things. So it is a surprise for everyone, for Romans as well.
And just walking along, we're here at another station. This, if I'm not mistaken, is Simon of Cyrene.
Yeah, Simon of Cyrene.
So we're here, and it's Simon Cyrene is called to help Jesus with the cross. Mm-hmm. This is perhaps one of my personal favourite stations of the cross, of course, because he's reluctant. He's the reluctant helper of Christ.
You can see in his eyes, the statue really, you can really imagine what he's saying and what he's feeling in his expression, because he's really reluctant, and he's going to carry the cross just because the soldier told him to do so, and that's sometimes what happens to us as well, so...
We're reluctant witnesses.
Yeah, like witnesses as well, yeah. And in bringing his cross, in taking his cross.
Then, of course, we have another very famous episode, which is, of course, Veronica wiping the face of Christ.
Yeah, well, we have Jesus with his cross on his shoulder, on his right shoulder. And in the back, we have the soldier. In front of Jesus, we have Veronica with the towel that wiped his face. And in the towel, you can see Jesus' face. And she's very, very sad. She has a very sad expression. And she's like trying to transmit to him what she's feeling in that moment for him and trying to be close to him. And Jesus that is answering, this is the way that the Father wants me to walk, so let me go.
We can see as each station progresses, the face of Christ becoming more and more resigned to his fate, you know, and particularly in the figure of Veronica, who with this very small gesture, this very small act, tries to show her love for Christ. And sometimes it's even the smallest acts that we do that can help. On a very personal journey, can we ask you when you knew or when you decided or why you decided to consecrate your life to Christ?
Well, I decided when I had a very deep experience of prayer in a prayer group. And I felt that Jesus was a person close to me and not so far from me, that he wasn't asking nothing special from me. He wasn't taking anything away from me, but he just wanted to give me everything, his life. And when I felt this, I just discovered a new person, a person that was alive. And he entered into my life and renewed my life. And that's the way I started my journey with him. And even though I was about to get married and I had my life, I was working, and I seemed that I wanted to be, you know, a happy wife with lots of kids, maybe in a missionary way of living my, you know, marriage. But I felt that I had to give everything, and one person wasn't enough for me. So that's when I decided to just change my perspective and have a wider perspective of giving.
Here we are, of course, at Jesus Falls for the third time. It's quite vivid, really. I mean, we have the Roman statues here with their swords drawn and spears and batons raised. And we can still see that it really is. It's like a highway here, the amount of tourists and pilgrims walking back and forth. But the next station, perhaps, is even more significant. And it's one that a lot of people really find very evocative, which is when Christ meets the women of Jerusalem who weep for him. Can you describe it for our listeners?
Yes, this is a very important station of the cross, I think, and we should maybe meditate a little bit more on this cross, especially us women. We have Jesus that meets his mother, and this is a very, very important moment, because Jesus is going towards his death. His mother knows, and his mother said from the beginning, may his will be done, and so she cannot stop him.
Reflecting on this station as we make our way towards the next station on this way of the cross here on Villa Conciliazione, in today's world, particularly the Western world, where we've heard the Holy Father say on many occasions there is need for a new evangelization, for a re-evangelization of the faith in the Western world. Many women believe that there is no place for them in the church. When the Vatican's yearbook was published only a month and a half ago, that while vocations to the priesthood in some areas are down, but generally they're stable or indeed increasing, vocations to religious life for women, they're plummeting.
I know.
And they're plummeting rapidly. And that's because there is a disaffection.
It is.
You know, within the church. Women feel they have no place in the church.
It's true. The only way for salvation is to follow Jesus, okay? So if we are women, we don't have places in the church for men, and it's not our fault sometimes. And sometimes it could be our fault, because we just don't stop following Jesus because the church or other organizations don't want women or don't give us a right place. But we have to keep on following, just to show this is a testimony, this is a witness for men as well, because, you know, if that it's important to persevere in faith, okay? So then the truth comes out when it's time.
So here we have Jesus falls for the third time, and whereas in the last two representations of Jesus falling beneath the weight of the cross, he was always to a certain extent on his knees, in this representation of Jesus falls for the third time, he's actually stretched out full length across the road.
He's almost dead. He's almost dead. He's on his side, on his right side, and with his left hand is trying to hold away the cross from him, because he knows that this cross is going to crush him. His expression is like, that's enough, I can't manage anymore. But then we see Jesus up again and going towards the cross.
Thank you. approaching the end of the stations, we see that Christ is divested, one of the most sorrowful of the stations of the cross, and it's quite graphically represented here. Again, this has attracted a lot of pilgrim and tourists around this particular station, the cross we see here, and it's Jesus is nailed to the cross.
Yeah, we have these three soldiers. One looks like a slave, actually. Two soldiers, one holding in his hand the cartilium, where we have the INRI written on. The other two soldiers that are nailing Jesus on the cross, and with very, very hard faces, very strong image, where people do stop, are still stopping and meditating on this place.
It's actually quite powerful to see a man being literally nailed to a cross. A lot of people, when they read about it in the Gospel or the Bible, they don't really picture it or imagine it. Here you've got it right in front of you, and it's quite difficult to look at, isn't it?
It does help. That's why figurative art really helps people to understand the Gospel more. And that's one way of, you know, trying to enter in Jesus' life and figure out those very moments, instances where he was suffering for us. And these experiences help us to memorize these moments of the Bible, of the Gospel.
So we really are drawing towards the end now. We're getting ever closer towards St. Peter's Square. And here we are at the most tragic moment of the Stations of the Cross. We're at the 12th station, where Jesus dies on the cross.
Yes, it's very, very strong. This is very powerful as well, because we have Jesus on the cross that has just died, and Mary that is trying to touch his son with a right hand towards the cross, with her other hand on her mouth, trying to keep inside all her sorrow and all her suffering.
One thing that's extremely striking about this station is the fact that the cross towers above us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm a meter 56. That I have to really look up to see that cross and the figure of Christ on the cross.
I think it was done on purpose to get it a bit closer to the people, so you can see it more alive, realistic, and you can see the eyes of Mary that are really fixed on the face of Jesus, and that gives us an image of the church as well, because like Mary, our eyes must be fixed on Jesus on the cross, because we have not only the cross is not the last word of Jesus' life and either of our lives, so that's why she keeps on looking. Well, she saw something more in that cross than his death.
Well, we're almost at the beginning of St. Peter's Square now. We start at the beginning of Via della Conciliazione. Tourists are still milling about, they're still taking their photographs, they're still stopping to look at each of the stations. They're quite struck by them, I think, and shocked to find them here, as we found out from that group from Mozambique. We're here at the 13th station, and a lot of people would think the story ends, he dies, the story ends, but it doesn't, it goes on.
Yeah, he's taken down from the cross, and he's in Mary's arms, like the very beginning of his life, and it's very powerful to try and think what Mary was facing in that moment. The Son of God, her Son, dead for us, and in her arms, her Son. And that's how the church feels, in Mary's arms, like Jesus in her arms. And the Magdalene that is there on his side as well, and praying, and just like accepting this thing that she can't understand. But that moment, that day, that bright day when the sun will shine, she will understand everything. And that's very beautiful as a perspective for a Christian.
And here we are in the 14th station of the cross, when Christ is laid in the tomb. So this really concludes the cycle of our Lord's Passion. He's being placed in the tomb and he is dead. And that leads us really to the Good Friday of the Lenten season. These statues, each of these figurative representations of the stations, as you said, it is a very immediate way to communicate to people, Christian and non-Christian, the story of our Lord's Passion. Do you think that sometimes we become over preoccupied with theology and we forget the simple importance of this story, a story which changed humanity in the course of history?
Yeah. Well, that's because we forget of the beginning, and we forget what's the essential. So we forget the Bible and the gospel. When we try and explain the gospel with very hard words that people don't understand anymore, just to give us a meaning or to give us work to do, we forget the essential of the message, that God is love, that Jesus came to give us salvation. And this is what is really true, and we must not forget. And it's very simple to say, and very simple to accept as well as a message.
This is how it begins. This is how it has always begun for over 2,000 years, with a simple question.
But who ordered all these statues? Why was it done?